Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Fort Collins Real Estate Ramp Up Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Jenkins. The reason we do these podcasts is to talk to our potential customers, basically just to get them up to speed on everything we think they need to know in order to kind of ramp up their home purchase process or selling a house, as the case may be. But this particular podcast deals in particular with buyers. There's a lot of information that we want people to know in order to prepare to buy a house. And a lot of times we don't get an opportunity to have long discussions or sit down with people at the beginning of the process. They may have just inquired about a property or called or emailed once, and we don't have that relationship where we're sitting down yet. And so we really love the podcast format because it allows us to do that. To tell people, you know, a lot of information and do that in an easily digestible format. I love podcasts. I listen to a lot of them. And so that's why we're doing this. Today, we're going to talk about whether or not the market is in a bubble. There's a lot of people that have seen, you know, it's understandable. The market has been red hot for 6 or 7 years now. Prices are up about 70% over what they were at the bottom of the recession. And, you know, the Northern Colorado area has really seen a dramatic change, you know, really a sea change in the market. And everybody just feels like the area is going crazy. And so people are saying, you know, is this the top of the market? You know, are we in a bubble? Am I buying at the absolute wrong time? And, you know, a lot of people will just say, well, nobody knows the future. But the truth is there's a lot of different ways that we can look at this, a lot of different kind of information points that we can talk about in order to make an informed prediction. Obviously, there's going to be another recession at some point, but we can look at a few different things, and that's what we're going to do today to try to understand whether or not it's a good idea to buy right now. So the first thing I want to do is talk about the 08 recession, and kind of most people know what caused it, but probably something that a lot of people don't know is that the biggest median price drop that Fort Collins had during that recession was 3.8%. That was from 2008 to 2009. And then in 2010, prices rebounded. And then, of course, they went on up from there. But really, that is not much of a drop at all, obviously. I mean, it's more or less a flat line. When you think about Phoenix, you know, other places in the country, Phoenix lost 70% of its median home price, just got absolutely hammered. Fort Collins did pretty well. Now, I hesitate to say that a little bit because certainly it was bad here. You know, I had clients that had to do short sales, you know, couldn't sell their house for what it was worth, had to go to the bank and ask them to take less than the loan balance because they had to move. And didn't have enough money to pay off the mortgage. So there was certainly hardship. You know, there were many foreclosures. But all in all, when you average it all together and you look at that median home price, it really, Fort Collins really weathered that storm very well, as did Loveland and Greeley. The entire region, you know, did pretty darn well. So that's kind of one thing to consider is that, you know, in that recession, we did pretty good. Another thing to think about is the fact that, you know, there were a lot of bad loans on the books in 2008. And everybody's probably seen the movies and probably knows this, but essentially you could go to a bank and say, I make $100,000 and I want to buy, you know, $500,000 house. Even if you made $30,000 a year, they called those stated income loans. They were liar loans is what the term eventually became after the collapse. But, you know, the lending practices were terrible. I mean, it was the Wild West. You could kind of give anybody with a pulse a loan. And so obviously that was a huge contributing factor in the collapse. Well, we really don't have those conditions anymore. In fact, it's kind of the opposite. If you're, you know, you're listening to this, you're probably preparing to get a mortgage. It will be not the most fun thing you've ever done. I mean, you know, it's a little bit like an IRS audit. It feels like, I mean, it's not that bad. I'm making it sound worse than it is, but all that to say, banks are combing through your financials and making sure that you are a strong borrower, that you're well within debt to income ratios, that you do have a job. They actually call your employer right before you close and make sure that you've not gotten fired since you first applied for the loan. And so lending practices have tightened up considerably. You know, the vast majority of people that have own a home now and have a mortgage now, you know, if they didn't lose their job, they have the ability to repay. And so we're just not seeing the same kind of conditions that caused the last recession. Another thing I want to point out is the population increase of Northern Colorado and what that's projected to do. I mean, everybody knows that the area is increasing in population, but maybe not everybody knows that the population is projected to increase by 40% in the next 15 years. So that would add another 100,000 people to Larimer County. And then Larimer County is also projected to double its population in 50 years, well, by 2050. And so obviously if you have those kind of population numbers, that is going to, you know, any recession that we do encounter in the next decade is going to be, you know, I think our market's going to be propped up by people continuing to move here. Anywhere from 5 to 9,000 people are moving to Larimer County every year. Another thing I want to talk about is property taxes. You know, why did Fort Collins weather that storm? Why are so many people moving here? I mean, you got your obvious things. We have what I think is some of the best weather in the world. You know, we got 300 days of sunshine a year. We have 750,000 acres of national forest, you know, within 30 minutes of Fort Collins. I mean, all the things you could list off, all the reasons why we get written up and as the best place to live or one of the best places to live in the country. But something that people don't often talk about is our property taxes and the fact that our Larimer County, as our average property tax rate is 0.65% of the assessed value of the house. And the nationwide average for property taxation is over 1%. So we're already nearly half of the property tax of most places in the country. But, you know, when I talk to people that walk by our office, we have an office in Old Town in downtown Fort Collins. And so a ton of people walk by our office every day. We get to talk to a lot of people that, you know, are moving here, looking at our listings, and I can't tell you how many times people say over and over that they live on the East Coast or they live, I mean, I just had clients that closed on a home from Minnesota and they were paying, you know, 3% property tax per year. So that's almost six times. So these people are paying, like, you got a $400,000 house, you know, you're paying a lot of them are paying over $12,000 a year. It's $1,000 a month in property tax. And so many people, you know, are retiring and they're on fixed income and it just does not make sense for them to stay in that area, especially if their kids are not there anymore. So many people that are following their kids to Colorado. I know my parents followed me, and just a ton of people that we talk to are in that very situation. Or even though the home prices may seem high to people coming from, especially from the Midwest, for people that are coming from either coast, and especially California has got kind of its own set of problems as far as taxation and cost of living, the Colorado area, in particular Northern Colorado, is in a very affordable market compared to where they're coming from. And you combine that with the kind of the quality of life, you know, the recreation we have here, the beauty, you can see why people are moving here. So the third thing I want to talk about is the cost of utilities. I mean, one thing that's driving our market is water, and really the fact that if you're a developer and you go to, let's say Elko Water District is the water district that's northeast of Fort Collins, where we have a lot of developable land left. You go up to that part of town and you're going to see a lot of cornfields still. I mean, you're going to see a lot of houses, but, you know, there's plenty of areas where there's cornfields as far as the eye can see, you know, around the Budweiser Brewery, especially. You're looking at a development that they're doing up there. And one of the things that's hindering that development is the fact that the developer goes to Elko and he says, I want to build 600 homes in this development. Well, Elko has an existing customer base and they have a finite supply of water, and they're not about to just sell 600 water taps to anybody that comes along, because they cannot continue to deplete their water resources. They have to, basically they tell the developer, you have to bring us water. You have to go find it on the open market. You have to go to a water broker or find a farmer. And you usually can't just find one. You have to find a number of them and put all those water shares together. And they can only be from certain ditch companies, because certain ditch companies have stronger water shares than others. And so these water districts will only take water from certain companies. So you can imagine anybody that has water shares right now, if they're not desperate for cash, they know that those are only going to get more and more valuable as the years go on with the population increase that's projected in the area. And so they're not going to give those away. And so you have a situation where developers would love to develop land, but they're just not able to because of the lack of water. And so that's definitely something that's going to continue to put pressure on our resale market. A lot of times by the time those developers get to actually build the house, they have nearly $100,000 into each lot for what we call curb and gutter, and they haven't even started building the house. So our median new build price in Fort Collins is over $500,000, and that's one of the reasons why we really like the lower end resale market if people are looking to invest in the area. We really like the mid 300 range, even though it's very competitive. It's a great place to put money because essentially you're getting a commodity that can no longer be replicated for that price. I mean, there's no way you could build a house for, mid 300s on the lot size that you can get. And obviously these homes are not going to be, mid 300s, and Fort Collins is going to get you a house that needs some work. But we're still very just bullish on that price point for, owner occupants and investors alike. So those are some of the market conditions and some of the reasons why, even though prices are up, quite a bit, we still see some potential price improvement in the Fort Collins market. The other thing is, even though the interest rates have gone up considerably over the last year, they're about 4.6 to 4.8. We're doing this podcast on February 12th of 2019. About a year ago, they were close to 3.9, bouncing around 3.94%. And so we thought that an interest rate increase like that was really going to cool the market off a lot. And we said, finally, this is going to be the big change that we kind of have been looking for. I mean, we would like a few more listings out there for our buyers. And, I think a lot of realtors would hope that the market starts to cool just a little bit. But we really, we have seen prices, appreciation rates subdue. Fort Collins gained about 5% last year. Loveland actually dropped a point. We looked in January compared to the January in 2018, and Loveland dropped a little bit. Other markets are doing kind of moderate appreciation. We think we're going to start to see like 1-5% appreciation in our markets. We don't think, certainly we can't sustain the double-digit appreciation that we've been seeing. But we do think we're going to continue to see appreciation. We had a big interest rate increase. It cooled the market slightly, but we're just not seeing a big change in the market. We're still not enough inventory for our buyers. We're still having to go to incredible lengths to find property for them. We're doing a lot of off-market property location for our buyers. So basically what that looks like is, a lot of times what we'll do is straight away we'll sit down and look at everything that matches their criteria that has sold in the last year, and we'll identify neighborhoods that they want to focus on. And we can pull tax record information on houses in those neighborhoods that match their criteria. And so just straight away to start out, we are mailing for them, and we're basically saying, this is Joe and Julie. They are, looking for a house that matches your criteria. And if you're interested in selling, please contact us. and we do that in a plain vanilla envelope. It doesn't look like a piece of marketing material. It looks like a very just basic letter, and we get incredible responses from those. We pay for all that mail because it benefits us to be in contact with home sellers. It's just kind of something that we do for our buyers to, you know, increasing the number of properties that they're potentially, that they have the potential to buy is a game changer in this market. I mean, certainly there's plenty of our clients that end up buying something that we find on the MLS or on Zillow. But we do have clients every month that find properties off the market. And it's a neat way to do a transaction, the buyer, and a lot of times there's just our agency involved. There's not another realtor involved. The seller saves money because they're only paying one realtor instead of two. It's neat because the buyer and the seller can, a lot of times, are sitting down face-to-face and have more direct correspondence, and that can be a really neat thing to see people get face-to-face. A lot of times when you're buying a house, you don't get to see the buyer or the seller, you know, as the case may be, until you're sitting down at the closing table, just because there's realtors that are sort of the intermediaries. So it's fun to get to see people sit down face to face and get to know each other during the transaction. It seems to go a little bit smoother that way. And so that's something we'd love to do for our clients and love to do for you. If you have questions about that, please let us know, or questions about anything you've heard on this podcast. You can always call or email us. Again, my name's Ryan Jenkins. Really appreciate you guys listening. Jump on our website, grayrockrealty.com, or reply in a text message or an email and let us know what you're looking for. It's tough out there, but we can definitely find the right home for our clients. It just takes a little bit more effort than it used to. So thanks again for listening. Look forward to hearing from you guys. Have an awesome day.